James and Judy here with the afternoon show, and we're going to have a little more conversation now with Nigel Hartley, the chief executive of the Earl Mountbatten Hospice here on the island. Welcome, Nigel.
Hello, James. Hello, Judy.
Lovely to see you again.
Yeah, great to be back. I always love coming here.
Oh, well, that's kind. We always love having you. Now, there's quite a lot going on at the hospice at the moment. Is that because it's Hospice Care Week at the moment, or is
it's partly to do with Hospice Care Week? I think, as you know, we're really trying to get the hospice building used a lot more effectively by a lot more people. So it's part of that too. And as always with these things, everything comes at once. But you know, we're managing, and it's working really well, I think.
Great. Well, I've seen, and we've sort of been talking about on our show, you're having a number of concerts, aren't you, at the hospice? How's that been going?
It's great. We've had two, so they started 2 months ago. The concerts happen the first Thursday of every month, starting at 7:30. And we have a varied programme. This first year is really highlighting and showcasing island music.
Yeah.
So we've had a jazz evening, and last week we had a sort of Latin American show.
Yes, Toca Bonita. We actually we tried to get some Latin American music, but I don't think we got quite the right sort, because when I pressed the button, it was very sort of house rhythm.
Well, the hospice building was shaking last Thursday night. I mean, it was extraordinary.
Did you get people dancing?
People were up dancing. Oh, everyone fantastic. Had a glass of wine. We had some of our patients and families there, staff and volunteers.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Judith, quite a few people who've never been to the hospice before.
Yeah,
and I think they're just so surprised that actually it's a place to come and have a good time. Mm.
It is a beautiful building, isn't it?
Yeah, the John Shepperton Centre is amazing.
Yeah. Full of light and...
Yes.
It's really nice atmosphere.
And it's getting people to actually enjoy the whole of the building. So that, you know, the centre is just one part of it, but now we have an art gallery in another part, and people can take their wine and have a look at local artists who exhibit their work monthly.
Oh, that's nice. Is the restaurant open in the evenings when you do this?
It's open when we do the concerts. We have wine and food available. But our plan over the next few months is to open the cafe 7 days a week until about 9 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, that's great. So people can just drop in.
People can just drop in. We're doing Sunday lunches at the moment, and again, that's been another success with lots of local people coming in.
Oh, that's good.
For Sunday lunch.
Are you licensed?
We're not licensed, but we do say to people, bring your own wine.
Oh, that's
it's absolutely
nice.
Fine. Yeah. And people do.
We'll have to do that.
I'm sure we would.
Yes. Just on that quickly, it might be worth saying we are going to open on Christmas Day this year for Christmas lunch.
Really?
So that's fantastic. That's open to anyone who wants to come.
I think that is brilliant. Nigel, because I think there are a lot of people who, for one reason or another, find themselves alone on Christmas
absolutely.
Day. And it's a very, very difficult day
to
be by yourself. So the fact that you can come to the hospice restaurant
absolutely.
Meet other people and, what a lovely idea.
So, you know, a real community. And, it's people on their own, but it's maybe couples who... Maybe one of the couple hasn't been well and just don't have the energy to come up to the hospice and be looked after, really, and have a good meal.
Oh, because it is. I mean, I always find it so stressful making Christmas lunch.
Yeah.
What a lovely idea.
But we'll be letting people know about booking for that. And
fantastic. So the next event coming up in terms of music is Gypsy Jazz, isn't it?
Yes, it's Gypsy Jazz, and that's happening on the first Thursday of November, November the 5th.
Yeah, they're going to be fireworks that night, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, we did think of whether we might have some indoor fireworks. I think that might be taking it a bit too far.
Yeah, I remember those sort of terrible ones that, what were they called, snakes or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, that's right.
There's this very, very distinctive smell to them.
But, yes.
I think they're incredibly toxic. So.
Yes, I I think they're called snakes. It'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe
jumping jacks or something. Yeah. Something like that.
Maybe we can look forward to some musical fireworks.
No, absolutely. And again, you know, people can book online or they can turn up on the night and pay then. That's fine.
And it's, just so that people know the website, it's iwhospice.org, isn't
right,
it?
Yes.
And also, I think it's your secretary, Tina, who's taking bookings.
Yes, over the phone.
Yeah, and that's 535-331?
331, yeah.
Okay, brilliant.
Right.
Well, we're definitely going to be there. Stay with us, because we've got some Ella Fitzgerald now, in a marvellous, I don't know whether you've heard this version of Mac the Knife. It's the one where she gets it all wrong.
But
she recovers so wonderfully that she got a Grammy Award for it. So listen to this, and then we'll be back, because there's plenty more going on at the hospice, and we've had Brian Daniels in here, who's a wonderful author, playwright, and actor, and he's going to be over here to do something in just a few weeks, isn't he?
End of October.
Exactly. Okay, let's listen to Ella Fitzgerald, getting things wrong, but then getting them so right.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. We'd like to do something for you now.
Yeah, that's Ella Fitzgerald, and she's pulling triumph from the jaws of disaster there, because she forgot everything in the third verse and then came back. Isn't that marvellous?
I know, you'd never have guessed.
No, I don't know, you have to be some kind of genius, and yeah. She was. Now, just before we went on air, Nigel, you said you were getting very exercised about a survey that's come out in the last few days. It's the Economist Intelligence Unit says that, it's quite a strange survey they've done. It's called the Quality of Death Index, and they say that Britain is the best place to die.
Mm.
So, well, what was getting you exercised about that?
It's not the first time they've come out with this result. It was the same about 5 or 6 years ago when they did it the last time. I think the thing for us to realise is that there are still so many people in the UK who don't get access to good end-of-life care.
Yeah.
And I think it's wrong for us to think that we've got it perfect and we've got it right. I think what we've got, particularly in hospices, is a very good model.
Yeah.
The issue is that it's not available to everyone.
Yeah.
And the problems come with the fact that people might have the wrong disease or not be dying in the right way or, dying from old age and frailty.
Yes.
We need to make sure that everyone who's dying has access to this good care.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge to the system.
Yeah.
It's the challenge to the resource we've got, both human and financial, because it doesn't come cheap.
So you're saying, you know, let's not be complacent simply
absolutely
because...
Absolutely not. I think, you know, the headlines, UK best place to die. I mean, we need to make sure it's the best place to live, and also it's the best place to live while you're dying.
And I think, you know, it's important to note that, you know, hospices aren't funded by the government, are they? I mean, there's a part grant, isn't there?
Yeah. We get a third of our 6.2 million from the NHS.
Yes.
And that's quite typical. A lot of hospices get less than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we really rely on the general public to support us. And it's getting tougher, that kind of thing. You know, we're in competition with so many more charities.
Yes.
And we all know, how do you make your decision of who to support? Because there are so many worthy causes out there.
Yeah.
And well, rightly so.
I mean, certainly on the island, you know, I don't think anybody does a better job than the hospice in terms of raising money. Also in raising awareness of things, because it's not just about end-of-life care, is it?
It's not just about providing good end-of-life care, it's about promoting it. It's about promoting the model of care that we actually believe in. And that's about kindness, and it's about consideration, and it's about looking after people and caring about people. And a lot of that is not about money, it's actually about attitude.
Well, I know you've got a read-through shortly by Brian Daniels, who's the playwright who came in here a few months ago, of a play that he's written, which is going to be performed, I think, in the new year in Portsmouth, called Don't Leave Me Now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There are a number of performances of this play which have happened across the country in different venues. There are two performances, and I mean in performance. I've been told off about this. I mean a reading. So it's not an actual fully dressed stage performance, but it's a group of actors reading it through, and in many ways it's more powerful because in a sense you get to hear more of the actual direct content of what's going on there.
And I think it's all about you know, where duty actually stops, or does it ever stop? Because I think as you see your loved one sort of give way to dementia, it's very hard to love the same person, I guess.
Absolutely. And you know, it's very specifically set around two relationships of people coming to the end of their life with dementia, and in many ways the messages are universal. So I think it's about vulnerability, and it's about letting go and watching someone you love actually behave in a very different way, and in a way that's very hard to understand.
And is money being raised for Admiral Nurses through
this? It's being raised for the campaign for us to bring an Admiral Nurse to the hospice to help us train ourselves and also get the island ready for what we know is an onslaught that's coming towards us.
Because I know Sally Grills has been sort of very instrumental in sort of helping you with this and doing fundraising. How near to getting an Admiral Nurse are we on the island?
Well, we need 100,000, and at the moment in the pot there's around 62,000.
Right, okay. So
you know, if someone's out there with 38,000 who wants to give it to us, that would be the best way of doing it.
Okay, well, hopefully our listeners are being very attentive.
Yeah. And, you know, in the overall scheme of things, I think 38,000 is not a huge amount of money.
No.
And it's going to make such a big impact on the island. So, yeah. You know, over the next, it would bring an admiral nurse for 2 years. And yes. It would really help us get things together.
Yeah. I think, you know, one difficulty with dementia, and, you know, Judy and I sort of noticed this, is, you know, if you don't know somebody who's had it, or if, you know, a friend of the family hasn't had it, it's very difficult to sort of want to get involved, isn't it? Because you want to kind of tidy it away into a little cupboard in your mind and think, oh, you know, I hope that's not going to happen to me.
But, I think if we think of the statistics, I think in the next 20 years, I think half of all deaths in the UK are going to be over 65, and a quarter of those are going to be people over 85, and one in three of them are going to die with dementia.
Yeah.
I mean, the news is we're all going to die. I mean, we know that.
Yes.
We'd rather not think about it.
Yeah.
And actually, when you begin to talk to people, a lot of people are afraid of dementia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they see that as more of a reality.
I know.
And it will become more of a reality.
Yeah. Well, these performances are going to be...
29th of October.
29th of October. There's one in the afternoon, isn't
one
there?
One at 2 o'clock.
And then one in the
and
evening.
And one at 6 o'clock.
And we're coming to the one in the evening.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we hope we get a good audience. You know, the concerts we talked about, we've had a great number of people coming in, and we hope we can grow on that.
Good.
So this is another event, and we want as many people to come as possible.
Now, talking about people coming to the hospice, on a happier note, you're going to have a marvellous garden installed there, aren't you?
Yes, I think we've spoken about this a little bit before, and we're still waiting for it. We're hoping in the next few weeks it'll be with us.
Because this was a garden that was featured at this year's Chelsea Flower Show,
wasn't it? Yeah.
And I think it's been donated.
Yeah, Matthew Wilson, who is the designer, supports a charity called Green Fingers, and they're very committed to putting gardens in hospices that will be used by both adults and children.
And I think this is part of the expansion of your services for children at the hospice,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
I mean, we've had the support of Kissy Puppy, of course, the Sophie Ross family, and they have really, you know, helped us, I suppose, be able to create bespoke care for children and their families when they're dying, along with the Children's Community Palliative Care Team. So it's very much a sort of partnership, and this garden really was inspired by that partnership. People heard the story. So it's been given to us, donated, and they're just having a few problems tweaking it to fit into the space. I believe the garden is on the island. It's
good.
Not quite on the hospice
good.
Yet.
Well, that's a start.
So, you know, hopefully in the next weeks we're getting the nitty-gritty sorted out and it'll be here.
Oh, lovely. Well, if you keep us posted, we'll let Alice know.
We will. And, you know, as with gardens, what we know, when it's put in this time of the year, it won't be probably at its best. So we will probably do a launch of the garden in early spring, maybe when Chelsea is on again.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Brilliant. That sounds lovely.
Well, it looks like we're going to see quite a bit of you over the next month.
Yeah, I'm very
plenty
happy.
Going on at the hospice.
Always, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in,
yeah.
Nigel Hartley, and best of luck with the rest of the week at the hospice.
Yeah.
The hospice week is all across the country. It's
yeah,
not just
it's UK,
for the Isle of Wight Hospice.
It's UK Hospice Care Week this week.
Okay.
So it's a celebration, really, of hospices and what they do, but also, I suppose, again, about sort of educating the public around what they are and what they do, because people's perceptions of them is not always what hospices are like, as you know.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Nigel.
Good.
We'll see you very soon.